What do Hayao Miyazaki, Art Carney, Chesterfield Cigarettes, and to quote a certain dog, have to do with Christmas? It's beginning to look a lot like an episode of Turns Out. Welcome back to Turns Out, the game of tall tales and unlikely truths. I'm your host, David J. Lohr, and joining me this time are everyone's favorite old movie maven, Shelley Brisbane. Hello, Shelley.
Hello. Hello, I'm here. old movies.
Oh, man. Steve, that's amazing. And also joining us tonight, Steve, as everyone's favorite feuding family referee, Monty Ashley.
I'm not Steve.
Yay, woo! That's what he wants you to think.
Oh, the bluffing begins. And also joining us, everyone's favorite radio theater newbie, Juno Hobson.
Hello, everyone. I don't have much more to add than that. I don't have a signature catchphrase yet.
We'll work on that.
We'll work on it.
And of course, you've heard her giggling. It's everyone's favorite Kelly Gamont. It's Kelly Gamont!
I am also not Steve. Wink.
So in this round of Steve Wink, our topic tonight is holiday specials. You know, like Rudolph, a Charlie Brown Christmas, even Skinflint, a country
How
Christmas
dare
carol.
You?
Featuring our own Steve Lutz.
Who is not me.
Who is not
who is
you.
Not
who is
here,
not
or
me.
Is
not
Wink.
Monty.
Wink.
We're setting a very dark tone for the episode going forward.
Oh, yes.
Indeed.
Tonight, Shelley, Monty, Juno, and I all have stories about holiday specials over the years. And it's up to Kelly to figure out which one of us is telling the truth. So we will start in the order that random.org has picked.
Random.org,
we bring the random to you.
So we will start off with Shelley. What is your story?
Wow, I have to start right out of the gate. All right, well, here you go. This is the one true story. In December 1954, Bing Crosby hosted a live Christmas special. Crosby sang his signatures, White Christmas, The Little Drummer Boy, Silent Night. And the commercials were live, too, as they often were in those times. And when it was time for a break, Crosby would move to a part of the stage and he would show off the product. And there would often be branding that you could see on stage. When the camera moved over to a different shot, you could see the representation of the brand on the stage. And this was Chesterfield Cigarettes were the sponsors. It was represented by a giant cigarette pack that could be seen whenever the angle changed. And whenever you see Crosby in profile, there's that cigarette pack. Well, in the middle of I hate when I read things. I can do things extemporaneously when I read things. Sorry. So in the middle of Little Drummer Boy, Crosby stands on stage and he's singing. He's by himself. You could hear a chorus behind him, but you can't see them. And just as the camera switches to profile view of Crosby, you hear a sound. Kerplunk! And the giant cigarette pack has fallen to the floor. And you can see it, of course, because he's in profile and they've switched to the camera. So Crosby, he kind of has a little hiccup there, but he continues on with the song. The problem comes at the end of the song because there's the final break for the show is then. And so he's supposed to go across the stage over to where the cigarette pack is and, you know, say stuff about Chesterfield cigarettes. So the pack is not there because nobody's had time to put it up there because they would have been seen. And so Crosby just stares at the off stage to where the director probably would have been, looks a little confused for a second, and then he looks forward out at the audience and he just says, "Bye, Chesterfields. Good night."
I'm sold. Let's get some.
Yeah.
I mean, Bing was pretty smooth.
He was. I mean, I want to believe that's true.
Well, then we're done here.
Okay, round two.
Because it's true.
Show's over. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was easy. Do you have any questions for Shelley? It's okay if you don't.
Not yet.
Oh, dear.
There's always a long opportunity another time.
Well, I might have to back up and go, wait, what about, yeah, so.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay.
Not at this time.
In that case, we will move on to Monty. Monty, tell us a story.
Okay.
Fire away, not Steve.
Well, let's see. Now, you guys remember the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving special? It was called, I believe, A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. It's from 1973, and it's the 10th one, so it's not Christmas or Great Pumpkin. It's bad. Well...
This was from the Arbor Day. It's Arbor Day, Charlie Brown era.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the thing.
Yeah. They put that on the DVD set, too.
Uh-huh. Will I get kicked off if I say I like the Thanksgiving special?
No, that's fine. Not. That one is fine.
Not until Monty finishes his
story.
It
means you just get to sit here and be silently judged by the rest of us.
So like I was saying, he said, glaring at the host.
Yes, Monty. I'm sorry, Monty.
Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, beloved though it might be, was not super popular, so they took another swing at it in the mid-80s, a couple after its Flash Beagle Charlie Brown, you know, when they were really struggling.
Yes.
And this one was called A Snoopy Thanksgiving. Now, the gimmick was that Snoopy has a ton of siblings, as you may know, like there's Spike, the skinny one from Needles, and there's Olaf, and Belle and Marbles and Andy, and also Molly and Rover, who only appear in the specials. And the idea was that they were all coming to Snoopy's house for Thanksgiving, and it's a purely Snoopy and Snoopy's family-based show. But here's the thing. In the comic strips, Snoopy talks. In the animated specials, Snoopy doesn't talk, right? He just kind of... So much of the soundtrack, like Charlie Brown, like wafts in a couple of times, but most of the soundtrack is just Snoopy and then Spike. And they have storylines. They settle old grudges. It's based on several storylines from the strip where, but the strip, again, they could talk to each other. And here they just had Bill Melendez doing all the voices of It's really weird. It's practically avant-garde.
I mean, that sounds like a good thing.
It is a good thing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
For our next story, we go to Juno.
Oh, okay. Let me make sure I have my notes document pulled up because I forget names really easily. Even if it's a story I know super well.
I'm David.
Because it's true, right?
Absolutely. So, for me, I get to talk about one of my favorite topics, which is weird lost media. Ooh. So for this, I need you to cast your mind to the back to like the early 1980s or so to the Rankin Bass studio executives. The year is approximately 1980, maybe 1981. Jack Frost has just come out, 1979, and they're looking for their next big holiday special because after like 10 or 15 years, you're kind of running out of ideas. There's been a lot of weird ones that have come out recently. It's kind of, there's a lot happening, and you kind of need something to get you back into the swing of popular culture. And in the same year, 1979, you, as the studio executives, remember that the character of Scooby-Doo recently did a Christmas crossover with another TV show's Christmas special. I cannot remember the name off the top of my head because it was one I'd literally never heard of. I had to check the Christmas special wiki for this to make sure I got the date right. It was... There's a Christmas special wiki?
I was just going to say,
yeah. Wow. Yeah, I just found that out. Wow. And so you think, there could be something here, and you reach out to fellow animation studio Hanna-Barbera, who's been around for about the same time you have, and go, how about a Scooby-Doo Rankin-Bass IP smash hit Christmas crossover? And surprisingly, Hanna-Barbera says yes. And of course, a lot of the details of this story are pretty fuzzy because... Spoiler alert, the movie never made it to production. It didn't make it that far. most of the details come from model sheets and animation tests debuted at conventions and then, like, scarce script leaks and studio memos that have been revealed in the past few years. And so it's kind of hard to get a grasp on literally any of the plot. It appears to be some sort of Scooby-Doo, Jack Frost, Rudolph team-up against a guy that I think is Krampus but might just also be a guy in a suit. Unclear. So, you know, it's walk cycles and all of that minutiae. But you know, the pieces really aren't working. Like, you have some connection with Hanna-Barbera. Casey Kasem did some work for Rankin-Bass in 71 for an Easter special. But, like, the actor schedules aren't working. The production rights are all over the place because it's two different production studios and then dividing the animation through the studios in Japan. It's a whole thing. The production gets stuck in titling hell for a bit. There's some really, really dumb titles that I've scrounged up for this. It's a shame that none of them made it to see the light of day. And really, the final nail in the coffin for this poor almost was of a film was the dissolving of Topcraft, the animation studio, in 1985, which then split into Studio Ghibli and Walt Disney Japan. So I like to think, this is my thought, that possibly Hayao Miyazaki could have been involved in a Scooby-Doo Christmas special, which makes it in a complete tragedy that it never made it to screen because I want to watch it so bad.
Right?
Yeah, I'm sad that that's not a thing.
It's just,
where I would not have been before for that reason.
Oh my gosh, it could have been my everything. It never came to be.
Well, it's funny you should bring up Rankin-Bass because...
Oh, no.
Well, you know Rudolph.
I mean, Christmas specials and Rankin-Bass, it's not like there's any connection.
No,
there,
not at all. So. No.
None.
I was going to say, you know Rudolph and Frosty and Nestor and Heatmiser.
But do you recall?
But do you recall one of the more obscure Rankin-Bass stop motion specials of all? After a run of specials in the late 70s, including the weird Rudolph's Shiny New Year, even weirder Rudolph and Frosty's Christmas in July, and The Little Drummer Boy Book 2, which was somehow inspired by the song Silver Bells. I don't know how that works. They created a special that could be shown at Christmas time or St. Patrick's Day and be just as weird either way.
Because that's too great taste.
It's like Nightmare Before Christmas. Very clever.
Right, right. In The Leprechaun's Christmas Carol, Art Carney narrates the story of Dinty Doyle, a cabin boy sent in search of a Christmas tree. He lands on a mysterious, uncharted Irish island where he accidentally releases a banshee named Mag the Hag from her pine tree prison. She then conjures up a storm that strands him on the island. When he is discovered there by Blarney Killikillarney, also Art Carney, he's mistaken for a thief after the leprechaun's gold.
Could you say that again, please?
Please.
Blarney Killikillarney, also Art Carney.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Once they get this misunderstanding sorted out, this being a Rankin-Bass special, Blarney tells Dinty his life story. How he married a lovely lass named Faye O'Clogjigger. How they became the oldest leprechauns in Ireland. And how they deposited all of their gold in a large rock under a grove of four-leaf clovers, faith and begorra. But the banshee is after that gold. Because if she doesn't get it by the end of the year, she will turn into a puddle of tears. I promise you I am not high, though I cannot speak for Rankin or Bass.
Also Art Carney.
And also Art Carney. Well, he might have tippled something. I don't know.
We just come out of the 70s, you know.
Yeah.
Tracks.
She disguises herself as a fairy princess because, of course, she cannot simply steal the gold. Oh, no. It must be given freely. So knowing that Blarney Killikillarney is too sly for her tricks, Meg tries to con Faye into giving her the gold by telling her that all of that gold would only corrupt the leprechauns. Faye has a fight with Blarney. There's apparently an earthquake. They go to a gold mine and get some help from the Lord of the Leprechauns. I swear this thing is only 25 minutes long. I don't know how they do this.
Acid is how, David. It's LSD.
And there are songs, too, by the way. In the end...
Did they go to a party at Sid and Marty Croft's house? Is that what happened?
They went to a party hosted by Blarney Killikillarney, also Art Carney.
In the end, Christmas is saved by St. Patrick's pine cone. Don't ask.
This is a family show.
You're not allowed to say don't ask.
And of course, all is well. It hasn't been repeated very often, and you can probably see why. But you can find it on YouTube, if you don't believe me, or if you've been looking for a new meaning to the term, the gift of the Blarney.
Or you've had a couple of jazz gummies and you fall down a rabbit hole on YouTube.
I mean, I know what I'm Googling right after this.
Well, Monty is not waiting, I guarantee.
So yes, one of these...
Well, now I have
true.
Several questions.
I should think
oh.
so.
There go.
Ask away.
Okay. I mean, you're not going to be able to answer any of the questions I have about the leprechaun Christmas. Also, Art Carney.
No, but I could do it in a sweet Irish leprechaun voice.
Like,
stunned,
I guess,
into silence.
I mean, my primary question here is why.
I'm just going to say, after that voice I just heard from the living room, that's enough sugar for you.
Well, yeah. I feel compelled to point out for those who were not around in this era, cocaine is a hell of a drug.
you think that's
and,
snow
and the grass
in
was
the
way better than
the
yeah.
stop motion. Mountains of
let's see. Okay, so Juno, you said yours was Scooby Doo and Rankin Bass, right?
Yes.
Okay. And never came to be. And then
the epic IP crossover cash grab that sadly never was. It would have been an epic cash grab.
Yes. Oh, indeed. Okay. And then we have Bing Crosby being smooth on live television, which I still really, I am going, whether or not I pick it, I'm going to choose to believe that one is true.
I just want to say, Junior, the thing just fell right over. I had no idea. What was I going to do? I just said goodnight.
Okay, see, I knew I was going to have a question for you, Shelley, because now I'm playing it back in my head. You said he was singing Little Drummer Boy?
Mm-hmm.
He sang that with David Bowie on his Christmas special.
Somewhat later,
special,
yes.
So,
and then so he died.
I kind of want
to... Right, very soon after.
Well, yeah. So I kind of want to rule that one out, even though it makes me sad. I have a friend who's a massive Scooby-Doo fan, so I feel like I would have heard about Juno's story.
You can't hear about it. Every Scooby-Doo thing. There's way too much of it.
Oh,
there really
is. No, 100%, yes.
My boyfriend is a devoted Scooby-Doo fan, and every day he texts me with, like, new lore that he's found out, and I'm just like, thanks, honey. I love you.
Yeah. I mean, there is a lot, but this feels weird enough it would be the kind of thing my friend would tell me about. Like, not that it's not true, but it definitely seems like at some point I would have heard about some crazy ass Scooby-Doo Christmas special. Yeah. And then honestly, I can't 100% discount the Charlie Brown one because I know it sounded like I was being funny about it's Arbor Day Charlie Brown, but they put it on one of the DVD sets that I have. Yeah. So it's real.
It's absolutely real. I remember.
And it's certainly a
thing. I mean,
thing.
Was it some sort of thing for the Department of Interior, like Smokey the Bear, it's Arbor Day, Charlie Brown?
I think they were just grasping for holidays.
They were doing
point.
Like three a year at one point.
Grasping for holidays. Oh, it's my favorite.
They absolutely
that.
Were. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I still remember, what is it? What was it all about, Charlie Brown? About Armistice Day?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. Like, every time you think somebody's being funny about one of those, like, it's a real peanut special, because there was a stretch there where...
Truly, the title there sounds like...
Also be high, I'm just saying. Yeah. Not as many colors, maybe not cocaine.
And then there was that...
A lot of weed.
The weed was a lot better back in the day as well. I mean...
They did the This Is America Charlie Brown, where they, like, reenacted historical things, so there's a Thanksgiving in that one, too.
I mean, this is not a joke. Yeah. I'm on the Peanuts Filmography Wikipedia page right now. There are 49 titles.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Lucy Must Be Traded, Charlie Brown, Which who's
oh,
going
I remember
to
that
who's
one.
Going to trade for Lucy, first of all?
Harsh.
Someone who has no idea what they're getting.
Yeah. We're building an all fuss budget outfield.
You're in the Super Bowl, Charlie Brown. Hey, good for him.
Yes. Sounds like a little product placement somehow, or like NFL sponsored it.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Peter Paul Cadbury. That one takes me back.
Surely it'd be brought to us by Dolly Madison.
Dolly Madison presents.
Dolly Madison, yeah. Oh, I remember that too.
Dolly Madison. Yeah, because there was no such thing as Dolly Madison where I lived, and I always wondered, kept an eye out for it.
See, that was the way Wonder Bread was down here, because Captain Kangaroo was sponsored by Wonder Bread.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Couldn't get one. I would say, Mom, let's have Wonder Bread.
You all are just saying words.
To entertain you. That's what we're doing.
Yes. Yeah, you're this loving
this. My brief stint on this earth has betrayed me.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, which it probably won't, half the time on Incomparable shows I feel the same way because I don't watch Marvel movies or Star Wars. So
yeah, high five.
Feeling.
Everybody has a flaw.
Sorry, Kelly.
It's
no
fine.
Offense.
So Seth Meyers on last night's show called out how really good Star Wars Andor is, and he said, "I'm not someone who loves everything Star Wars. I'm an adult."
Right. See, this is my thing. Every time someone talks about how great Andor is, it's all, there's no space wizards or laser swords. I like Star Wars. I like space wizards. I like laser swords. If people who like Andor are people who don't like Star Wars, why do I care?
And why are they watching?
That's my next question.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Get your adulthood out of my Star Wars, dude. Step off.
Yeah, if anything, more space wizards.
So, please, yes, please. More
space wizards. Space wizards, Charlie Brown.
Keep to your brand. Keep
is there
a
Rankin Bass space wizard Christmas, space wizard Arbor Day special?
I think if they'd been around long enough, there could have been. But, you know, they did co-produce Thundercats.
Mm-hmm.
So
I also think if you hallucinated hard enough, you could just make one in your own brain.
I've seen...
Which would be fun, I'm just saying. Oh,
yeah. I've seen enough of the old ones. I might, by the time I get to the bottom of this eggnog. But
I still remember watching the first episode of Thundercats. It comes up at the end, you're a Rankin Bass. I went, what? No! What?
It's super weird if you make it to the end. Yeah. You know, I'm going to go with the Rankin Bass because I think it's the weirdest of all of them. I mean, all of them sound really interesting, and I feel like I probably saw something about any of them at any point, but I think also Art Carney. I think I'm going to have to go with also Art Carney, and I'm absolutely guessing, and it's based on no fact, except that sounds the most plausible of all of them. I'm a huge Rankin Bass fan, so this sounds like I have won bets, like pre-internet bets on stuff like this. So,
wow.
Yeah, so I think, I don't think I've ever seen it, but it feels absolutely like something that Rankin Bass would have put together. Somebody threw two darts at a calendar and tell me now, David, exactly how wrong I am.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
You can go on YouTube and find The Leprechaun's Christmas Carol if you want.
No.
I swear to God. There's even, and I will put it at the end of the episode, there is even a promo because it ran on ABC in 1981, and you get to hear Ernie Anderson going, "And after Frosty, see The Leprechaun's Christmas Carol."
Good Lord, what fresh hell is this?
It's that voice.
Wow, and I thought Dude, Where's My Reindeer was a goofy one.
So,
I don't remember which one that is, but it's one of the Christmas ones where like the dog pound picks up one of the reindeer and hauls them off, and everybody has to go on some sort of goofy rescue mission in order to go save the reindeer. Yeah.
I was searching through all the Rankin Bass stuff, and I had forgotten most of Christmas in July, and I had forgotten that there's this whole song for Ethel Merman.
Might
where
I suggest
she's,
you do not remind yourself.
No. And then Shiny New Year with the song by Maury Amsterdam as a caveman. Mm-hmm. Why?
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Wait, song by Maury Amsterdam. Those are words I never thought.
Uh-huh.
He's a song and dance man, I guess.
I will say I did discover the Christmas specials wiki as part of this project, and it is a true delight, and I've learned many things which did or did not inspire.
No, the Christmas special wiki did prove to me that there are many, many, many Scooby-Doo Christmas specials, and all of them have inferior titles to this list of backup titles I came up with in case I was pressed. It was just me and my dad like trading puns back and forth to see what we could make.
Wow, you chose the right dad.
Okay, can you give us a couple of your favorites? Because I really, yeah.
Let me just give you. I have a couple boring ones in there to be like give it some more plausibility. So I have like a Scooby-Doo Christmas because, you know,
you must, yes,
whatever. Yeah. My
generic branding.
My dad threw out "We Wish You a Scary Christmas."
Oh,
which
that's
I liked a
good.
Lot.
Or We Wish You a Scooby Christmas would also work.
Yeah, I think that was in there. I have A Very Scooby Christmas was right after that.
Mm, okay.
We have Oh Christmas Creep.
That's very, yeah.
Scooby-Doo and the Christmas Caper / Christmas Creep.
Nice.
I wasn't sure which one to go with.
Yeah.
My dad threw out Jinky Bells.
I was going to say Jinky Bells. I think it's really good.
And my personal favorite, which came to me at 2 in the morning, like 2 days ago after I received this prompt, and I like blearily reached for my phone on my side table to write it down before I forgot, and I realize I'm building this up way too much and you all are going to be disappointed, was...
No.
Welcome to my life.
Was Ra Rumbug.
Oh,
wow. No, that's great.
Yes.
Wow. And I was just like holding on to these in case I needed them. But now I just have a document in my phone with really bad Scooby-Doo Christmas puns.
I love it.
This is my whole relationship to my spouse, waiting for him to come home so that I can tell him a story that I build up way too much. And then I realize halfway through, that story isn't that interesting. It's fine, but it didn't require the buildup I just gave it.
Oh, man.
I was like 80% done with my research for Snoopy Thanksgiving when I ran across Snoopy's Reunion from 1991, which does have all of his family hanging out. They play songs. They go to the Daisy Hill Puppy Farm. It's turned into a parking garage.
I remember that. Yeah. It gets dark. Yeah.
Is there a rainbow bridge involved?
Well, in Snoopy Come Home, there is.
Yeah.
Snoopy Come Home made me cry as a child over and over.
Yeah, it's awesome. No dogs allowed. Or birds.
No dogs allowed.
No dogs.
So yes, you were not wrong at all.
Wow. All right.
So you get a point. We're actually keeping points this time. Go figure.
Oh, no.
Because I finally figured out how the lightning round works. It's only taken how many years? So let's go to the lightning round.
Does the lightning round also feature Art Carney?
No.
It can if you want to.
But it features Paul McCartney. So this is a round I call the most wonderful time of the year.
Just throw it up my hands now. None points for me. Let's go.
Nil point. So this is a quiz mostly about Christmas music, holiday songs. We've all heard them. We're often stuck in towns that have one radio station that plays nothing but.
Yes.
For, you know, a month or two. So I'm just going to go in order again, the same order we've been going in. And we got a couple of questions for everybody.
Oh, dear.
So we'll start with Shelley. In the song Jingle Bell Rock, which word or phrase is repeated the most times? A, jingle. B, jingle bell. Or C, jingle bell rock.
Oh, interesting. All right. I'm going to go with jingle bell.
Oh, so close. So close. It is actually jingle. Jingle is in everything. It appears 16 times. Jingle bell appears 10 times. And jingle bell rock 3 times. Go figure. Okay, Monty.
Yes, sir.
You would think it was number 1, but Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You was the number 2 most streamed Christmas song on Spotify from November to December 2020. Which song do you think was number 1? A, Feliz Navidad by Jose Feliciano. B, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree by Brenda Lee, or C, It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas by Michael Bublé?
Well, I hope it's not Rocking Around the Christmas Tree because, and this applies to Jingle Bell Rock too, Christmas songs that claim they rock never, ever rock.
Right? No.
It burns us precious.
I'm going to go with that Michael Bublé. I'm going to go with that Michael Bublé one. It's beginning to smell a lot like Christmas.
No, I hate to tell you, it's Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
Ooh.
It was the number one streamed song in 42 states. They even broke it down by states.
No one needs that.
No.
For a bonus point, though, can you name one of the 8 states where Mariah was number one?
Hawaii.
Very good. California, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Louisiana, Nevada, New Jersey, and New York, and Washington, D.C. So our next question is for Juno, and it's okay. This one is right in your age range.
Okay. That I'm not sure if that gives me an advantage or disadvantage.
According to ASCAP, the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers, which of these songs is the most played Christmas song from this century?
Oh, no.
A, Under the Mistletoe by Kelly Clarkson. B, Underneath the Tree by Kelly Clarkson. Or C, Christmas Isn't Canceled, Just You by Kelly Clarkson.
I was gonna say, I feel like not that many people are listening to Kelly Clarkson nowadays, but then every single answer was Kelly Clarkson, and so... Oh, no. Well, there's only one of those that I've ever actually heard of, so I'm just gonna go with that one, which is the Under the Mistletoe.
Oh!
Oh,
oh no. It's Underneath the Tree.
Ah,
that's
no!
The number... The number one played Christmas song from the century. But they're all in the top 10. That's the scary part.
Oh, no.
Christmas Isn't Canceled was number 6, and Under the Mistletoe was 10th.
And where's Last Christmas in all of this?
It's coming. Oh, okay. It's coming. Fear not.
Well, to be fair, is it from this century? I don't actually know.
No, it's
not. It is not.
Okay,
it is not.
Good.
Yeah, it's Love Actually. That's 99 or so.
Yeah. Juno, I would venture it's older than you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's a lot of things older than me.
If it makes you feel better, I think you're reading my mind. Because, Kelly, your question is, fortunately for those who play Whamageddon, hearing covers of the Wham song Last Christmas don't count.
Yes.
That's good because, according to Spotify, about how many cover versions are available on the service? A, 365, B, 700, or C, 1200.
Oh my God. I know Spotify has a deep library, but I'm not convinced it's that deep. So, See, I'm tempted by one a day, every day for a year, but,
right.
But 700 feels like the number I should pick, so I'm going with that.
Oh.
And it was 365.
No, believe it or not, it's 1,200.
Oh, my God.
According to Spotify.
And I thought I had heard them all. Apparently, I have not.
Yeah. And I'm not sure how much to believe it, but that's what they claim.
Okay.
So I'm going with that.
Well, yeah.
And
I have
so
no
now...
concept of Whamhalla because although it sounds like a glorious place... I end up there every year because I do not actively avoid that song. I actively avoid that Mariah Carey nonsense. So.
Oh, we'll see. And that's, you know, that's the smart move.
This
that's
is when I drop my representation for the My Chemical Romance cover of the Mariah Carey song. Infinitely superior.
Yes.
That may not enrage me the way the Mariah Carey one does. So I would go with that.
All right. We'll loop back to Shelley. Again, according to ASCAP, Sleigh Ride by Leroy Anderson topped the list of the 25 most played Christmas songs of 2021. But what was 25? Was it Santa Baby, Feliz Navidad, or Wonderful Christmas Time?
All right, so that's interesting. So I could...
25.
How to game this out? I don't know. I feel like I should not allow myself to be influenced by David's Feliz Navidad obsession of late, as those of us who live in the incomparable Slack sometimes know.
Look, it's a low grade obsession across the Slack. I would go.
There's a wider world.
Yeah.
Yeah, but David started it.
No, anyway. No, Erica started it because she hates
Erica,
it.
Did she?
And her
it's
tiny
all
maraca.
Her fault. Yeah.
Excuse me while I consult the archives. All right, awesome. Please repeat the choices for me because I was just bantering and I forgot.
So, okay, which song was the 25th?
25th.
Okay. Santa Baby, Feliz Navidad, or Wonderful Christmas Time?
Actually, I'm going to go with Wonderful Christmas Time.
And you are correct.
Really?
I feel like it's from all like the retail stores.
I just thought it would be way higher. So
it could be.
It's very Bed Bath & Beyond, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the retailers and no one else because no one should listen to that song voluntarily.
So yeah, Feliz Navidad was number 20 and Santa Baby was number 22. Go figure.
But which Santa Baby?
Monty. In 1971, John Lennon released Happy Christmas, War is Over, which had a melange of influences. The chords and the melodic structures of the song are remarkably similar to an old folk song, but which one? A. Skewball, a ballad about an 18th century racehorse. B. Dick o' the Cow, about a man who regains his stolen cows.
This is a family show.
Or C. The Bonnie Bonnie Broom of the Cowdenows, the story of a shepherdess who falls in love with a stranger on horseback.
I'm going to say the Bonnie Bonnie Broom of the Cowdenows, because it sounded like it was fun to say, and it was.
It really is fun to say. Unfortunately, it was Skewball. The original version of that was made famous by the Kingston Trio, I think, in the early 60s.
Was it Skewball or Stewball when they did
it? It's both. It's both. It's okay. It's been recorded as both. It mostly right. In America, it's known as Stewball. I did a lot of research for this. I don't know why.
How do you think it's going? Let's check in. How's the lightning round going?
Very, very slowly.
Right.
It's kind of like a slow avalanche round.
Okay.
Seasonally appropriate. Okay.
Yeah. So Juno.
Oh no. Okay.
The party's on, the feeling's here, that only comes this time of year. But what time of year did Paul McCartney write Wonderful Christmas Time? Was it A, in the spring of 1968 at an ashram in Rishikesh, India, but John Lennon refused to record it? B, the summer of 1979 in about 10 minutes during a boiling hot day in July? Or C, in the fall of 1976, improvised between sets live on stage during a Wings concert.
I know nothing about the Beatles at all. I am going to pick the first one just because I like the idea of John Lennon refusing to put his hands on this horrible song.
Oh, I knew that would work. It's B. He wrote it in 10 minutes in the middle of summer.
This is a spite vote.
I love when a host says, "I knew that would work." That makes me so happy.
You know your audience so well.
Oh. Right?
Because you know John Lennon was just like, oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, God, no. Yeah.
Kelly.
Yes.
Jose Feliciano's Feliz Navidad was originally released in 1970.
Yes.
But when did it hit the Billboard charts? A, in 2017, charting at 44. B, in 1998, charting at number 70, or C, 1970, charting at number 21.
Okay, give this to me one more time.
2017. I'll just give you the years.
Yeah. 2017. Okay, it came out in 70.
1970.
In 1970. Okay.
So 2017, mm-hmm. 1998, or 1970.
I'm gonna go 2017.
You are correct.
Yes!
In fact, 1970 was the only wrong answer. But well, the first time it hit the charts was actually in 1998.
I only picked that because I was at Disneyland in 2017 and they had him there to play it live in person as part of some taping thing that they were doing.
Oh, wow.
So I have seen it live in person in front of the castle. So that's why I picked
gosh.
It. they did not hand out tiny maracas. I feel obligated to
point out. See, that would have been great.
Exactly.
All right, we have one more round of straight-up questions. Shelley, A Holly Jolly Christmas was made popular by Burl Ives in the 1964 Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer special, but he wasn't the first to record the song. Who was? A, Mitch and Mickey on their 1963 album Christmas Along with Mitch and Mickey.
Also Art Carney.
Also Art Carney.
Record album, Mitch. Even when you had a big vinyl record.
Mitch,
album.
I want credit on the album. Mitch, come on.
And Mickey. B, the Quinto Sisters on their 1964 album, Holly Jolly Christmas. Or C, Gene Autry in 1949 as the B-side of his original rendition of Rudolph.
Ooh, those are excellent choices. I love them. I'm going to go with Gene Autry.
You are correct.
No. It was the Quinto Sisters.
Really?
Of whom I've never heard.
We had that record. Yeah. We had the Gene Autry record at my house when I was young.
Wow.
Were there perhaps five of them? Or was that just their last name?
One of my early attempts at a story for the main portion of this program involved Gene Autry in some way. And then I was like, no, I can't. I don't even have a full story for it. I'm just going to say I was going to Gene Autry it up. And I did not. And I'm glad.
Oh, but it was tempting. I can see that.
Because I would have leaned that way and been like, we had a Gene Autry Christmas record when I was a kid. So, that would have been awesome.
So it's all a matter of knowing what Kelly had at her house as a child. I see how it is.
I mean, that's not creepy at all.
I mean, no, I was on the episode. Didn't
Hi, Kelly's mom, you don't know me, but I have a question.
We're just playing a game. No, it's just a game.
And she would answer you, and she would be polite, and she would tell you everything she could. 100%. Yeah.
Wow. Also, what's Kelly's credit card number and her password?
She doesn't have any of that. I have her password.
What's your maiden name? So, Monty. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
According
Yes, Monty, what's your maiden name?
According to the Guinness Book of World Records, what is currently the best-selling Christmas album in German? Is it A, 1987's Weihnachten mit den Flippers by Die Flippers, 1987's Winterkinder by Rolf Zukowski, or C, 2009's Alma Mater by Pope Benedict XVI?
Well, David, obviously I have no idea what the answer is. So instead, I'm going to tell the alternate story that I did not tell in the first part of the game.
Yes, please.
Go for it.
This was based on the Paul Lynde Halloween special, which was in 1976.
Yes, sir.
So I called up...
Worthy of its own show.
I called up the 1976 TV listings, and this was a glory time for variety shows. Sonny and Cher, yes. Captain and Tennille, Tony Orlando and Dawn, Donnie and Marie, the Starland Vocal Band, Tony Randall, Dick Van Dyke, the Brady Bunch, something called the Keen Brothers. They all had weekly variety shows, as did Shields and Yarnell. So I was going to do Shields and Yarnell Christmas special, Christmas with the Clinkers, a one-hour festival of people acting like robots, with special guests Foster Brooks, Avery Schreiber, Shirley Jones, Don Campbell's Original Lockers, Jimmy Stewart, and Sam the Eagle. Problem is, after I did all that work, I found out that they did that.
Oh, no!
Yes. They had a Disney World Christmas with the Clinkers thing. So that whole thing had to go out the door.
Oh my God.
Sam the Eagle.
Pick the first German song.
Oh, no. It was Winterkinder by Rolf Zukowski.
I was sure I was right.
Okay. None of those were David Hasselhoff.
Which, believe it or not, has been certified triple platinum. Go, Rolf.
Okay.
Juno, in a survey, of 1,000 dog owners by the United Kingdom's charity Guide Dogs, the survey found that over 90% of the dogs involved enjoyed hearing music. Which of these songs appeared on the charity's top 10 list of Christmas songs most enjoyed by dogs? A, Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues. B, I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day by Wizard, with two Z's. Or C, Merry Christmas, Everybody, by Slade.
Oh no. I have an interview with the Humane Society tomorrow. I'm wondering if this will be in the job application process.
I mean, that's pretty niche for the Humane Society.
I'm working in the cattery, so hopefully it won't come up. So wizard pogues or slayed? No.
What about those dogs that bark jingle bells? Bark, 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 bark.
I don't know. I feel like dogs are a big fan of Slayed for some reason.
You are correct.
Yes! Good job.
The trick question is, all three of them are on the list.
Hey! Uh-huh. Yeah, I will so take dogs, getting a point on the trick question.
That's the opposite of a trick question.
Right.
But
that's a you can't lose
question.
The
answer is Feliz Navidad.
I like that the dogs liked the Pogues. I'm
Me
also
too.
Amazed that Wonderful Christmas Time is on the list at number 10. Dogs' ears are up to 75 times more sensitive and sharper than ours. Maybe they hear something we don't. I don't know.
I like that song.
Paul is dead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not terrible. It's not terrible.
I think that's where it falls on my lexicon. It's like there are songs that I hate, there are songs that I love, and then somewhere in the middle, in the lower middle, is it's not terrible.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. I may not immediately change the channel, mostly because it's not one that gets a lot of mileage here. So I don't hear it as often as some other things.
And yeah. So finally, Kelly.
Yes.
In a survey measuring the most popular Christmas song in each of the 50 states.
Yes.
Which of these was the most popular in the most states?
Okay.
Was it A, Santa Baby, B, Home for the Holidays, or C, The Christmas Song?
That's Chestnuts Roasting on Open Fire by Mel Torme, right?
Yes.
I'm going to go with Mel Torme. I think The Velvet Fog is a solid winner.
Oh, believe it or not, it's
wrong.
Believe it or not, it's Santa Baby.
Of course it is.
No!
Santa Baby was tops in 8 states, followed by a tie between Jingle Bell Rock, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, and Feliz Navidad, with 5 states each. Go figure. Now this final part is literally a lightning round. It's the White Christmas bonus round.
Okay.
These are all just true false, quick fire questions. I'll just go right in order. Did these people cover White Christmas?
Okay.
Shelley, Lady Gaga.
Yes.
Yes. This is where I have to pay attention to the points.
Yeah, with Tony Bennett or something, probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Monty, Elton John.
Yes.
Yes. Juno, Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yes.
Yes. Kelly, Iggy Pop.
Yes.
Yes. Believe it or not. Shelley, Michael Bublé.
Yes.
Yes. Monty.
Yes.
Billy Idol. Yes. And I haven't heard it, but I kind of want to hear that one.
I have.
Juno.
Yeah.
CeeLo Green.
Just go with the trend. Yes.
Yes.
He did.
Woo! Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Bad Religion.
Yes, I have this version.
Yes. Okay. Shelley, the Brian Setzer Orchestra.
No.
Daring.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, I thought I'd try and be a little out of the box. Didn't work.
Monty, Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond. Would Neil yes.
Yes.
I have that album too.
Yes.
Hanson.
Yes.
Yes.
I have that album too.
I'm sorry, that is not the correct amount of enthusiasm for Hanson.
Not for Hanson.
Yes.
It's not.
Hanson, good. I've disrespected their name.
That version is not bad. Yeah.
And Kelly, finally, the Flaming Lips.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, they've all covered White Christmas, which is nuts.
I've heard that one too, actually. I have a thing for alternate versions of Christmas songs. So like the Iggy Pop version, the fact that there is more than one Bad Religion Christmas song.
I would listen to Iggy Pop all the way.
Absolutely. Yes, and you should. It's awesome. Because I get tired of like the same 8 Christmas songs, so I'm always looking for something new. So like, yeah, I have like a wide variety of songs, like Neil Diamond. Yeah, he did a bunch of them. And he also covered the Hanukkah song, which just delights me. So there you go.
And for one really weird incomparable themed bonus point, which of those 12 performers has guested on Star Trek? And that's for anyone to jump in. There's only one.
I was going to say Iggy Pop would be my
Iggy
guess.
Pop.
Yeah. You don't need to put makeup on him. He already looks like an alien.
No, he's already there.
He's an alien.
His whole vibe is interplanetary. So, yeah.
Good for him. He has interplanetary pronouns.
For the first time keeping score, Kelly won by 1 point over Juno and Monty, who tied with 5, and Shelley had 4. But it was really close. It was really close.
Yeah,
so,
that's a 2-point game.
Thank you all for coming. And I will say, it is time for us to all nestle snug in our beds with visions of sugar plums, something, something. So I'll thank my guests, Shelley Brisbane, Monty Ashley, Juno Hobson, Kelly Gamont, and to all a good night.
Maraca noises.
Wednesday. Is Frosty really getting married?
I will not allow it!
A classic holiday special for the whole family. Frosty's Winter Wonderland. Then, a new wee Christmas special.
Here comes!
When Dinty Doyle stumbles upon the end of the rainbow.
A golden Christmas dream come true!
The Leprechaun's Christmas Gold.